Can I invite Grace to come in? Nick and Grace have become part of the Hope family for the last 16 years. 16 years, 10 years. They've come every year to minister to us, and we've always been blessed by their ministry. Thank you.
Wow, that was very moving. We're going to read from Exodus 33, starting at verse 14, and reading through to chapter 34, verse 7. I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked for. I will look favorably on you, and I know you by name." Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." Then the Lord told Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. I'll write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed. Be ready in the morning to climb up Mount Sinai and present yourself to me on top of the mountain. No one else may come with you. In fact, no one is to appear anywhere on the mountain. Do not even let the flocks or herds graze near the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two tablets of stone like the first ones. Early in the morning, he climbed Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, "Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations." I'm just going to read the first two verses of 1 Samuel chapter 2. "And Hannah prayed, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me.' No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." Amen.
So we do feel like we're coming home. We feel like for those of you who don't know, we live and work in Switzerland, in Bern. But Hope Church feels like our home church, so it's always a joy to come back to you. And those of you who were with us yesterday, we were looking at the subject of knowing God, and we're just going to carry on. Yesterday, we looked at those words, "that I might know him," in Philippians chapter 3, Jesus, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And you know, some of you may be going through some sufferings at the moment. We were singing that song. It's a great song, you know, "You're Never Gonna Let Me Down," because that is true. However, there are times in our life when we feel like God has. Is that right? You know, there are times when we feel like we've prayed about something and it didn't happen. And I like to be real with what I'm singing, you know, rather like you said, you know, when we sing, we need to really mean what we're singing. So I have to stop before I sing that and say, "Actually, this is the truth, Lord, that you're never going to let me down." Because I know it's the truth. It's something that historically I've seen But there are times when we have those wobbles, don't we? And so when we're worshipping, we're actually declaring faith sometimes, because it might not be the case at the moment for us. Now, I don't know about you, when you were little, whether you had a sort of party piece, you know, something that you could do that nobody else could do. So my party piece was my grandfather's isibongo. So if you are Zulu here today, you will know what I mean. Otherwise, nobody else will. An isibongo is your nickname. And into it, the Zulus put pretty much everything they know about you. So an isibongo can go on for a really long time. I mean, my grandfather's was only about six sentences long, because he was only little when they gave him his isibongo. But, you know, names matter in the Old Testament. Names really matter, and particularly the names that are given to God. They really matter. Because, I don't know if you've realized this, but everything that you need this morning is met in God's name. It's in God's name. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to let you pray. Let's have a silence, and I would love it if everybody here, you just tell God what you need this morning. Just tell him what you need. Okay, let's pray now. And just in one sentence, tell God the thing that you most need from him this morning. Lord, we thank you so much that your word says, my grace shall supply all your needs, not all your wants, but all your needs, according to my riches. So, Lord, we want to learn about you this morning and see how you can supply that very need that we mentioned to you. Amen. So, Moses asks to see God's glory, and God reveals his character, his goodness to him. And there's going to be a chart coming up on the screen, I think. Hopefully you can see it way back up there, but if you can't, we will go through it. And this chart is just showing you basically some of the characteristics that God mentioned, that he's compassionate, gracious, patient, abounding in love, faithfulness, forgiveness, and justice. Pretty much everything you ask God just now is met in his name and his character. And then I've got an Old Testament name and a New Testament name of Jesus for each of those things. And if you think we're going to be here till next year doing this, I'm hoping to get through just that chart in about 10 minutes. So it's a whistle-stop tour of what God's name means for us. But I think it's wonderful. And the name that is pretty much, well, nearly my second favorite name of God is Jehovah Shammah, because it stands for the Lord is there. Okay? And Jesus said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And they nearly stoned him for saying it, because he was saying the Jews' secret name for God, Yahweh. Before Abraham was, I am, the eternal present tense. You know, I don't know you, many of you here today, but I know one thing about your past. The Lord is there. You know, I know one thing about your future. I'm absolutely sure the Lord is there. There's one thing we know about today, and that is the Lord is here, rock-like and unchanging. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. You know, in Exodus, the very first thing God says about himself is that he's compassionate. And you might think, well, of course he's compassionate. Everyone knows that. But actually, back then, no pagan god ever revealed themselves as having compassion. They were cruel, they were strong, they were mighty, but they were never compassionate. They never cared. And, David boasts about God. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, and it's an outrageous thing to say, because the shepherd was the bottom of society. He was up all night caring for the sheep, you know. He was the bottom. And David boasts, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. And, you know, you're in my life. You know, we've been listening to these testimonies, and they're great. Our life needs to be like a visible boast that we've got a good shepherd. So I was reminding Nick of something he didn't even remember it happening. It was a long time ago in the early 90s. We lost our baby daughter. We'd had a couple of miscarriages, and then our baby daughter died. And we were very sad for a long time. But the months went by, and a couple of young ladies in our church invited us to supper, and we went to supper, and we didn't know them at all, so we were kind of swapping faith stories. How did you get to know the Lord, you know? And the one girl, she said, well, I was a Christian. She said, and then a load of people let me down, and I asked God for things, and, you know, somehow he didn't answer, and I fell away. In fact, she said, I was at university at the time, I was the head of the CU, and I walked away, which must have frightened quite a lot of people. So we said to her, that was a few years before, so we said to her, so how did you come back? And she said, oh, well, it was you guys, actually. And we said, us? We don't even know you. And she said, well, no, but when my friend started to bring me back to church, the vicar stood up and he said that you'd lost your baby daughter. And she said, every week Nick was up there worshipping the Lord with all his heart, leading worship. And I'd turn around to look at you, and sometimes you'd have the tears running down your face, but you were worshipping. And I looked at you guys and I thought, those guys have got someone. You know, that's what our life should be, a boast. Not that we're wonderful. No, we've got a good shepherd. We've got someone who's looking after us. And so he's compassionate and he's gracious. He gives you grace. One of the names of God that people don't often speak about is Jehovah Makedesh, which is the Lord is holy, or the Lord who makes you holy. You feeling very holy this morning? It's one of those things that comes and goes a little bit, doesn't it? We were in Newcastle Airport just last month, and I had one of these experiences. I was doing was buying a chocolate bar, okay, and I went to the machine, the self-checkout. I scanned the bar. It told me what to pay. I paid. I got my change back. And just as I'm moving, a man comes up to me and says, "You haven't paid, madam." And I said, oh, yes, I have. The machine's just given me change. He said, well, where is the change? I said, well, it's in my purse. And he said, well, you can't have, I'm sorry. And I said, why can't I? He said, well, the machine has said that you haven't paid. So we had a little altercation. And I left without the bar. But I have to say, the really funny thing happened about an hour or two later. We got off the plane at Geneva, and Nick's phone tinged, and we heard that the guy who was preaching the next day was sick, and I was going to have to preach on the Lord is holy. And I have to say, there was, you know, holiness was in short supply in Newcastle Airport. But you have to be real about yourself and say, Lord, I need you so much, even for those little things, so that I don't just react as soon as something doesn't go my way. Jesus, this is a lovely name of Jesus. He calls himself the vine. And that means his life is pouring out through us all the time. So that all the time, even at those moments where normally we would blast, you know, we are the Lord. There's just a moment where the Lord says, stop, I'm here. And then you have a choice whether to carry on and blast or to stop and let the Holy Spirit continue to make you holy. And then he's patient. He doesn't force himself on us. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. You know, Jesus said, I am the way. Are you stressed or anxious today? You know, I had a picture as I was preparing the sermon of a sea anemone. I don't know if you've ever, when you were a little kid, you know, put your finger inside a sea anemone and it closes up, doesn't it? Because it detects something invading it. And we're a bit like that sometimes, aren't we? When something invades us, when we're stressed or anxious, we close up and we don't let anybody near us. And actually, the Lord is wanting to say to you today, just open up to me because I want to heal that stressed, anxious part inside you this morning. And he's abounding in love. That's the thing that everybody remembers about the Lord. You know, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Do you remember that old kids song that we used to sing? Joy is the flag flown high on the castle of my heart, because the king is in residence here. And, you know, the Song of Songs says that his banner, his flag that's flying over your life today, that he can see and the angels can see and the enemy can see, that flag is his love. He's flying over your life today, and it announces to anyone, you know, that you are precious to the King of Kings. And in John 10, Jesus calls himself the door of the sheepfold. So I read about this. This is very interesting. A man went out. You know, a lot of Christian ministers go out to Israel because they want to, you know, understand where Jesus walked and stuff. And they often employ a shepherd to take them round, because there's so many shepherd stories in the Bible, so they want to get it. And this guy had got a Palestinian shepherd to take him round. And at one point, the guy said, "And here's the sheepfold." And the guy looked at it, and he said, "Well, there's no." It was just literally three walls like this. And he said, "This is the sheepfold. There is no door. There's no roof." So he said, "Well, where's the door? You know, what are you going to do when, you know, predators come and so on? Where's the door of the sheepfold?" Now, this Palestinian shepherd, he wasn't a Christian. He didn't know the Bible. And he said exactly Jesus' words. He said, "I'm the door." And he lay down in front of it. And he said, "No enemy, no predator can get at the sheep except over my dead body." Isn't that beautiful? When Jesus said, "I am the door," he's saying, "Nothing can get to you except over me." Isn't that incredible? It's a beautiful thing. He is abounding in love to you. And that's your safety today. And actually, there's another story also told about Christians, a whole Christian group, and they were being taken by a Jewish, this time, shepherd. And this Jewish shepherd said, "You know, for thousands of years in Israel, the shepherd leads his flock. He never comes behind the flock. He always leads his flock. And you know how when you're talking to someone, you realize you've suddenly lost them." And this guy, he's just telling them, and he can see they're all looking past him and laughing. And so he turned around, and here's this guy behind a flock of sheep, whacking them along, and they're going. And the people he was talking to burst out laughing. They said to him, "Well, I thought you said that for thousands of years that shepherds lead their sheep." He said, "They do. That's the butcher." And, you know, I just wondered today, are you feeling driven? Are you feeling driven by, you know, your circumstances, by your job, by your family? Are you just feeling driven all the time? You know, put yourself back into the hands of Jesus and let him lead you. It's never Jesus that drives you. You know, it's always the enemy that seeks to make us under pressure and to drive us. The Lord leads us gently. And that is his way. And then he's faithful. And we've just said, you know, that thing that we sang about, "You're never going to let me down." That is the actual truth. He never is. Sometimes it takes, you know, time before you see what God is doing in your life. But I think his faithfulness is probably the thing we love the most. Jesus calls himself the bread of life, the one thing you can't do without. You know, we can't do without his faithfulness. And he's forgiving. You know, one of many people's favorite name of God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. You know, and he heals us physically, but even more deeply, he wants to heal your hurts this morning. And I know you know that. But will you let him in? Will you let him come and heal your hurts? You know, maybe you need something forgiving, or maybe you need to forgive someone. And that anger that you have towards them, it's squeezing your heart dry this morning. And God is saying to you, "Come to me. You know, because I've forgiven you so much, I can teach you how to forgive like I do." And if you know, we talked yesterday about the resurrection power of God. And I want to ask you, if you weren't there yesterday, I want to ask you this question. Is there something in your life that God wants to bring back to life? Something that's kind of died? Some faith issue or something you used to do before? Is there something that God wants to resurrect back in your life? Bring back to life? Let him do that. And then he says that he is just. There may be people here and you've been through really unjust situations. And life has not been fair to you. And therefore, God's justice is a really important thing, you know, to you. And he wants you to know that no matter what has happened to you, he is a God of justice, and he will bring the right result for you. And he also wants us to be people of justice. You know, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And then he goes on and says, you're the light of the world, doesn't he? Because he wants us to go with that very justice and fight for those people who are victims of injustice and unfairness in this world. And whatever you identified when we prayed just now and we said, say to God what you need, it has to be met in one of those names, you know. It's got to be. Just everything we need is met in the name of God. And it says in Proverbs 18:10, you know, the name of the Lord is like a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. My mum used to, that was her favorite verse. You know, whenever she was under pressure, she'd stop and just say, Lord, I'm just running, you know, for the strong tower, which is your name, because I know that in you there is what I need today. You know, David, when he's facing Goliath, he says, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, because it's a big, strong name. How well do you know him? That was the real challenge yesterday. You know, I quoted Dickens' Christmas Carol, you know, where the ghost of Christmas present, he says, come in and know me better, man. And I feel like the whole of the Bible is saying, come in and know me. God is saying, come in and know me better. And, you know, as a church, the more you get to know him, the more you'll get to reflect him out into the world. Now, you might have wondered why I got Nick to read two verses about Hannah in 1 Samuel. But Hannah is a very interesting character. Go and read her story. It's just in 1 Samuel 1 and 2 afterwards. And when you first meet her, she is bitter, hurt, lacking in confidence lady. She is really angry because she can't have a child. And her husband has two wives and the other wife has tons of children. And worse still, she really taunts her all the time about the fact that she can't have a child. And so Hannah is desperate for a son. And she begs and pleads to God for a son. And when he finally miraculously gives her what she wants, you know, she actually starts to have a revelation about God's character. And the whole of those verses, the first 10 verses of 1 Samuel 2, it's all a revelation of who God is. And I think what happens with us is we ask God for something, we beg God for something. When he finally does it, we say, thanks God, that is amazing, and off we go. But if we actually stop and we say, Lord, would you reveal a bit more of yourself to me in what you did? It's us that change then. We start changing into the likeness of his character. It's, you know, if we spend time getting to know God, guess what? It says it so clearly that as we look at him, it says in 2 Corinthians 3, or is it 1 Corinthians 3? I can't remember. That our face begins to change from one degree of glory to another because we're reflecting what we see of God. And so, you know, the thing with Hannah is she has a revelation. She wants God to do an incredible thing. And she is the first person in the Bible to call him the God of angel armies. You know, the Yahweh Sabaoth, the God of angel armies. She says, you're the God of angel armies. You can surely do anything. And you know what? After that, all the prophets, it becomes their favorite name. They all call him the God of angel armies. You know, this one lady who couldn't have a child, who felt so bitter and twisted, she is the one who gets this amazing revelation about God. Whoever you are, the more you turn to him, the more he begins to reveal to you. And I really felt there was someone here today that I've got a word for you. It's somebody who's been worried about your children, and your children, you felt like your children have fallen away from God or have never got there. And these are the verses I've got for you. It's in Jeremiah 31, verses 15 to 17. This is what the Lord says. A cry is heard in Ramah. Deep anguish and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children. because they are gone. But this is what the Lord says, do not weep any longer, for I will reward you, says the Lord. Your children will come back to you from the distant land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, says the Lord, and your children will come back again to this land. That is a promise to somebody here who is really concerned about their children. God is a God who speaks. He spoke then and he speaks today, and he knows you. You know, he knew I was going to meet Ryan today. I didn't know I was going to meet him, but he had a direct word that I wrote down straight away. And Hannah, you know, she calls him the God of angel armies, and it becomes a really important name for all those prophets. What do you most call God? You know, Nick and I were find that a lot of people get their theology from songs these days, and so often people call God a good, good father, don't they? Not a good father, he's always a good, good father, we find, and which is fine, and it's a great way to know him. One of our congregation in Switzerland, he's a lovely elderly Swiss man, and he was a missionary in Indonesia, and he said in Indonesia they say about Christians, well, they're pluralists, you know, they worship a whole load of gods, you know, because they worship a father and a son and a spirit, so they believe in loads of gods. And so this dear man started to call him the triune God, you know, his lovely Swiss accent, you know, oh God, I worship you, the triune God, you know, and we love it when he says it because it's so near to his heart, it's precious to him. What do you call God? You know, as you start to call God your shepherd, you get to believe that he will be your shepherd. You know, just as Hannah called him the God of angel armies, she began to believe that God was so strong he could do this thing. It's what you call God that begins to become a revelation inside you of who God is. And it becomes faith for you. So it's really exciting to that's a little challenge I give you. You know, decide on one of those names at least and start calling God that for yourself. Because as you do, your knowledge of him becomes bigger and bigger. Now, sometimes I ask people why they love God. If I was to walk around here, I'm not going to, don't worry, but and just put the microphone to you and say, why do you love God? I hear all sorts of answers like, well, he blesses me. He answers my prayers. He is faithful to me. You know, they're all really good things. And it says in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. So it's okay, isn't it, for us to love him for those reasons. However, if I now go to Nick, and I'm, again, not going to give him the microphone, but if I went to Nick, my husband, and I said, why do you love me, darling? If he said, well, because you walk the dog, because you give me lovely meals, you know, you presented me with a daughter, I might be a little miffed, you know, because it's all functional, isn't it? It's what I've done for him as opposed to who I am. And the thing is, we love him because he first loved us. That's how we start to know him. But if we let him, he will draw us further into loving him for who he is and what he is, rather than just what he does for us. And, you know, if you do that, if you have a real relationship like that, you're less likely to deliberately sin. I think that's really good news for most of us. You're much less likely to deliberately sin because it hurts the Lord when we sin, and you don't hurt someone you really love, do you? Or you try not to, at least. And it made me think, you know, like if you go to the workplace, there's people fall out with one another. But in a loving home, if it's a loving home, you still fall out with one another from time to time. But it really gets to you until you've got it right, doesn't it? You've got to get it right because you love that person. My mother told the story of finding me outside the bathroom door one day, and I was only a little girl, and I was weeping bitterly and saying, Daddy, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And she said, he can't hear you, darling. The bathwater's running, you know, he can't hear you. Wait till he's come out. And I said, but it might be too late. And she said, that is actually the heart of a repentant person, that we so want to get it right with God. We hate to hurt him, that we're desperate to get things right with him. And maybe God's speaking to somebody here today, and he's just saying, you know you've hurt me, and you keep putting off coming to me and just saying, God, I'm so sorry. But it's you that will get released if you do it. So I really encourage you to do that. And then, so you're not only less likely to sin, but actually, when the Holy Spirit touches your life, you know, you begin to understand God's character, and he grows in your sight. And one of the things that Hannah does is she takes her pain to God, and it says in the Hebrew, she poured out her frustration to God. Have you ever done that? What a good number of people. Nobody pours out frustration to God. I'm always hammering on. I have to stop sometimes. But you know what? You know, people say, well, I pray not because I'm good or anything. I pray because I'm desperate before God. And you might be sitting here today and saying, that's just the problem. I'm not desperate. Or at least only sporadically, you know, when I need something. Well, pour out your frustration then. Pour out your apathy if you like, but at least say something to him, because he wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear your voice. He wants a relationship with you. And God is into transformation. You know, he wants to change you constantly. I have someone who's worked with me for the last 15 or so years, and she's a very good friend of mine. She has struggled, and she loves the Lord. She struggled with OCD, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder. And she's had prayer for it. She has had counseling. She has trusted God to take this away. And yet, she has some very difficult circumstances. She has a child with autism. Her husband is quite unwell. She just has a lot of stuff in her life to put pressure on her. And when the pressure comes on, then she wants to compulsively start checking things and so on. And she said, Grace, I've always wished God would take this away from me. I've prayed that God would take this away. But I'm so glad he hasn't, because I've got this, I have to hang on to him for dear life every day. She said, I have to take my thoughts captive. You know, instead of allowing myself to do all those things, check everything 5 times before I leave the house and so on, I take my thoughts captive, as it says in the Bible. And I say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to look after this house. And I walk out. And she said, I worship every day. Other people worship occasionally. She said, I worship all the time. I have to. Because I have to hold on to God. And she said, it's such a mercy to me. And you know, I would rather that she listened to God for me than anybody else I know. You know, she really hears the voice of God. Why? Because she desperately needs him, you see. And she hangs on to him. And she has changed so much. If you met her today, you'd feel like you'd met with Jesus. She's that kind of person. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, why didn't God just heal her OCD? I mean, we talk all this time about healing. But, you know, God is often portrayed in the Bible as a good artist, you know, and even as a potter. And sometimes when a potter is doing something, he takes even the imperfections and makes it beautiful. And Andy's going to put up a picture for me just now. I've just come across this. I think it's really nice. This is the Japanese, I don't know if you can see it at the back, Japanese art of Kintsukuroi, and there's gold. Can you see where it's all cracked? It's been mended with gold. And the Japanese believe in this art. They mend broken pottery with either gold or silver, because what they're wanting to prove is that something is more beautiful often after it's been broken than before. Isn't that a beautiful spiritual lesson for us? After we've been broken, God makes us into something so beautiful with the gold of, you know, his presence and his healing. So it's a beautiful thing for us. And I'm nearly finished. You're probably desperate to go. I'm nearly done. If you were here yesterday, you know I sort of drop large pieces of my talk, and then poor Andy doesn't know how to put things up. Jesus told a story about three people. You will know this story. It's called the Parable of the Talents. And one guy got a certain amount of money, and the next guy got slightly less, and the third guy got a tiny bit, right? And the owner of the master of the house, he left, And when he came back again, he called these three guys in. And the first guy had invested all his money and he doubled it. And the master was very pleased and he said, well done, and he gave him a reward. And the same happened with the second one. Third guy comes in and he says, well, actually, I didn't do anything with my money. I just stuck it in the ground. Here it is. And actually, the master was really displeased because he hadn't used what he'd been given, that treasure that he'd been given. If you're a Christian here today, you were given a special treasure. The moment that you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came to live in your life. And you have a treasure that you can invest in other people. Now, you begin to use that treasure, all that kindness that God has given you, you start to give it to others. However, revealed himself in such a way that he wanted to stop doing those things that were destructive to his life. But now, as he invests that treasure, you know what he's going to do. He's going to go to other people who come from exactly the same background as him, and he's going to say, I know you can get free because I have. You know, that's investing the treasure, isn't it? And it's using it. And I believe that the Lord is just saying to us, invest the treasure that God has put in you today, and you will get to know him better, and others will get to know him better. So let me pray for us. Damien was just saying earlier that people are coming to Christ every week as at the moment, and it just occurs to me that if there's somebody here and you don't know Jesus, I'd just love to pray a very simple salvation prayer for you. And if you pray it after me in your mind and heart, I would love it if you just come and tell me afterwards, okay? I won't do anything threatening and talk to you or anything, but I will pray for you. So it would be really lovely if you have been listening to this and you think, I want this God. I want this amazing God with all these characteristics. Now's the time. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you so, so much that in you is the answer to every single need that is in this building today. Lord, everything that people know about us and those things that people don't know about us, the secrets that we have and stuff, Lord, you have the answer to every need. And it is in your name. And we love you and we thank you. And I'm just going to pray this prayer for anyone who doesn't know you. Lord, I just want to come to you. And I want to say I'm so sorry, I'm really sorry for the things that I've done that have been an offence against you and that have hurt you. And I ask you today, please, Lord, forgive my sins. And please, Holy Spirit, come right now and fill my life and begin that change in me. So that I become more and more like you. And I choose to call you my Lord from this moment onwards. And Lord, for the rest of us, we just want to bring to you again that thing that we asked you at the beginning of this service. And we want to thank you that in you is the answer to that need in our life. Lord, we thank you that you are God of compassion. Lord, we ask that you would make our life a visible boast that you're a good shepherd. Lord, we want that so much. We thank you that you give us the grace to be holy, even when, you know, when we get annoyed and angry and irritated. Lord, thank you that you can change us into holy people. Lord, thank you that you're the door of the sheepfold, that nothing can get to us except over your body. Lord, that is such a security for us. I want to pray, Lord, that for some of the people here this morning, you would be Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Lord, there are people here who need you to provide financially, who need you to provide a job, who need you to provide them with peace, who need so many things. Lord, thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who gives and provides. Lord, I believe there's someone here who's just has been asking you for a long time for a godly partner, and I just believe you're saying, today is the day I want to hear you trust me afresh for this. So, Lord, I just really ask you that you would provide those needs that people have. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that you're concerned for our children. And, Lord, what we want to say to you today is just that we're so grateful. We're so grateful for who you are. And we pray, Lord, that you would begin that transforming thing in our life, that we begin to become more and more like you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just feel like we've talked about so many different aspects of God, and I cannot believe that one of them wouldn't be right for you, because everything about him is right for us. So if there's something that I've mentioned today that you just really feel, I want the Lord to give me more of that, please do, if I may say this, come up in the last song, and I know the prayer ministry will be here ready to pray for you. But it would be great to respond, because it's always good to respond to God. Thank you.